Grace, mercy, and peace be to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the lesson for the day that you have just heard read from Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Greetings from the New England district to all of you, the faculty, the staff, the student body, and all who have come together this morning to bring ultimate praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the 25th day of Lent. For you mathematicians, that means we are 62.5% of the way through the season of Lent, leading to that glorious Easter morning. This is since my baptism, 52nd Lenten journey. And following in the footsteps of our Lord as he walked to the cross. And every year, the story never gets old. Never gets old. As I continue to stand in absolute awe, as I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. As I look at the cross and I see the stark reminder of what he did to set me free from the guilt and the shame I no longer need to carry. I bring up that word, that thought of guilt, because I want to look at this text with this central theme, the search for guilt. To me, the text is speaking the search for guilt. We begin with these words. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. What did they come together for so hastily that night? To search for guilt. Proof. That was a done deal as far as they were concerned. He was guilty. Let's get two witnesses that can agree. And we can pronounce the death sentence, bring it to Pilate, and have it done. And then there's this little inclusion about Peter. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And there he sat with the guards, and he warmed himself at the fire. In John's gospel, John tells us that John kind of got him in there. Convinced the woman, the gatekeeper, to let him into the courtyard outside the high priest's home. He comes, drawn by love, but the fear of the flesh, at a distance. You want to talk about guilt? We haven't even got to the threefold denial, which comes right after this text, but you want to still talk about guilt? He draws the sword in the garden, runs like the rest of them, is confused, guilt, searching through his guilt. And the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin, they were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they didn't find any. Are you surprised? Am I surprised that they didn't find any? I mean, you want to talk about being a setup. Staged witnesses, and they can't even agree. They bring up that incident back in John 2, 19 and following, after the first miracle when he heads back to Jerusalem, and he's standing in front of the temple, and he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Of course, speaking about his body. They can't even get that straight. The witnesses don't agree. What's Caiaphas going to do? He takes it into his own hands. Caiaphas says, "Are you not going to answer? What's your response to the testimony of these men, the things they're saying about you?" He had absolutely the perfect response. There's nothing to respond to. Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Who's in control of this hearing anyway? Who's in control? It sure isn't Caiaphas. Although he thinks so, because now he's going to cut right to the chase. Are you the Christ? Is this your title? And what about your person, Jesus? Are you the Son of the Blessed One? There's no more silence. This is the defining moment. And I get goosebumps going up and down my spine at this point. I am. A simple, affirmative answer to a straightforward series of questions. Yes. And I'll tell you, did Jesus cut to the chase when he said, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Gee, I wonder if the 70 plus the high priest thought of Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." I wonder if they would have thought of Daniel 7, 13, and 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. I think I can understand why Caiaphas got upset. And he rents his garments. What other proof do we need? We don't need witnesses. Good thing, because they didn't have any. Blasphemy. He is guilty. And they all condemned him to die. Well, who is in charge of this scene? It's the Father, isn't it? God the Father's in charge. Yes, the I Am ultimately let the court of men say he's guilty, he must die. That the search for guilt could ultimately fall in the hands of God the Father. He searched for the guilt. He's the one who looks at his son covered with the stain and the blemish of every one of those thoughts, words, and deeds. Everything that I've done, thought of, said. That I deserve judgment for. All the devastation and the guilt like Peter that I feel, you feel. Oh, the search for guilt, and it was all over Jesus from head to foot. No, Caiaphas wasn't in charge. This was the Father's will. That he be hung upon a tree that we could be free with life and forgiveness and salvation and hope and new beginnings every day. What you're going to go out one day and faithfully preach and proclaim. Don't just tell them about Jesus. Preach the gospel as it reaches down into the every hurt of our every wound. And all of my devastation and my unworthiness and all of that guilt. And I say to Satan when he afflicts me with that, to hell with you, Satan. Because in Christ, the search for guilt in me is done. It's finished. Because he was forsaken in my place. Because he was absolutely altogether alone with my guilt, my stain, my sin, my judgment. I praise God. Not just through this walkthrough of this Lenten season, but every day of my life. Then when guilt raises its hoary head with me, in the depth of my sin, I know that God the Father searches not for sin in my life anymore, but has smothered me with grace, acceptance. And we've got the privilege of sharing it and proclaiming it and setting God's people free. May God fill each of you with this peace as you help people realize that they need not search for guilt and guilt and guilt and guilt, but that it's been left at the foot of the cross, that Jesus has endured it for them, for us, and for all. May the final 37.5% of this Lenten season bring you to that glorious Easter morning with the ultimate I Am himself, risen gloriously, that you have new beginnings. Through Jesus Christ, our risen, triumphant Lord and Savior. Amen.